Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 25-31 is what I want to read today. Going to be preaching on to touch the hem of his garment. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you, if you would, to please stand as I read from God's Word. Matthew chapter 5, 25-31. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, today, God, I pray that in our own very lives, that we will reach out and touch Jesus. That's what this message is about today, is how we need you, Lord, each and every day of our lives, and we can't make it without you, Father. And God, this morning I pray, Lord, that every word of this message will come straight from you through your Holy Spirit, and Lord, let nothing come from my own words or my own thoughts or flesh, and we ask it all in the holy and mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now this message really does apply to us today. And what you see here, first of all, the woman is never named in Scripture, but for 12 years, she had a physical affliction. She had what doctors would consider a female-related problem. And so for 12 years, this woman had gone to doctors. She had literally spent all of her money. The doctors couldn't do anything for her. And if you think about it, a woman losing that much blood for a 12-year time period, you would have to know that this woman suffered weakness, a lot of pain, tiredness, probably not even able to really get up and leave her home to go and do the normal activities that she had done previously. But if you can imagine not only that, the mental torture, because if any of you have ever suffered or endured pain, sometimes mentally you think you can't take it anymore because the pain can become so intense. So this woman in her very life, having gone through and basically relieved every source that was available to her, nobody could help her. And finally, this woman heard about Jesus. And we know from what Scripture's saying that if she heard about Jesus, she had to have heard that Jesus was a great healer, that Jesus was a great physician. She heard that Jesus was loving and very compassionate, and Jesus was one who would help anybody wherever he traveled. So this woman got it into her heart that that's what she needed. She tried everything else. It didn't work. And she knew that it had to be Jesus that she turned to. Now, I want to point this to life today. There's a lot of things that you and I have either gone through, Or there's things that we are going to go through, and sometimes it may be pretty deep and painful. Other times it may hurt a little bit. We never know the degree of a valley that we're going to walk through, or some kind of physical pain that we're going to suffer, or a crisis that may come up. But this we do know, that we are going to go through things in life, because Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Okay? So, we know that. Now, the Bible also says, in the book of Philippians, the Bible also tells us that we are supposed to praise God in all things. When you're suffering, when you're going through dark and despairing times, you are to praise God. And why would we want to praise God when we're going through bad things? Because when we're praising the Lord, it basically takes us out of the realm of what we're going through, and it places us in a spot with the Lord where we are placed in His presence and in His peace and His strength. And you know what? When you start to praise God and worship Him and pray, it really does. You start to forget about what you're going through, and you're placing your situation in the Lord's hands, and you're saying, Father, I have done everything else that I know to do, but now, God, I'm coming to You, and I'm going to release into Your hands and into Your care whatever it is that I'm facing. Now, this woman, what I like about her is her faith. She had a faith that was basically, it was making her to go forward, and nobody could stop her. Now, I want to say this. Back in the day, this woman having an issue of blood, it was written by law that she was considered unclean, and she would have had to have stayed home. She would have had to have been in her own dwelling, and she could not be outside. She couldn't touch other people, because if she did, they would be considered unclean, and they would have to also as well go to their house. But also, excuse me, also, if she had touched Jesus, they were looking at the fact that He would have been unclean, and Jesus could have rebuked her. He could have. But Jesus did not. And in our life today, this woman's testimony should be our testimony. We should have a faith that causes us to go after Jesus and seek Him for everything in our lives, whether it's good or whether it's bad or something in between. We should have a driving faith that causes us to wake up of a morning and say, you know what, God, I am not going to tackle this day by myself. I am not going to rely on my own power. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Which means acknowledging God. So the first part of our day, we should give it to the Lord, and we should surrender, and we should say, Father, I need You today, and I need You to handle every affair that is before me, and I trust You with it. I think I preached some weeks back about when Jehoshaphat and his army was going into battle. They had been reduced down to so many men. But God told them, God commanded them to praise and sing on their way to battle, and God promised Jehoshaphat and his army that He would take care of the problem that was lying before them, which they were facing an army of 2,000 to 3,000 men who were very well equipped for war. And when they got to the place where they were supposed to go to battle, the Lord had already destroyed the enemy that was awaiting them. So whatever you're going to go through in life, you've got to have the faith and the determination that you're going to go after Jesus, that you're not going to rely on anything else or anybody else, because you can exhaust everything in your life and you can leave yourself feeling physically tired, mentally worn out, and spiritually exhausted, where you feel like you just can't go on any longer. Or you can say, Father, I have a bond with you. I have a relationship that is unbreakable because we have that threefold cord where we are wrapped up in God and His power and His love, and it's at work in our life. And if we are living and abiding by that, then we are going to be in fellowship with God. And even though we're going to go through things, the Lord will walk with us and the Lord will shelter and protect us. But we have to say, Father, I need you today. If this woman who, now the Bible doesn't say it, but I'll bet after 12 years of having this physical issue and probably being physically worn out, when she went after Jesus, I mean, there's a crowd of people all around. The Bible doesn't say how many was in that number, but we know that there were people there, and she had to make her way to Jesus. And you know what? I really do believe this. I believe that Jesus already knew who he would encounter on a certain day and time. I do believe that because God is all-knowing. God knows everything about you and I, and God cares about you and I. See, the law, when we're living by Jesus, by the new blood covenant, the law, the old law does not apply to us. See, before, you had to go through certain things to be with God, but through Jesus Christ, God was given to us in the flesh. And now you and I have the ability to come to God at any time, and we can find our help. We can find our strength and comfort. And I don't know why more and more Christians choose to look to the things of this earth and the things of this world like they do. Really, it does. It happens. Because when I've gotten the chance to talk and minister with people, people have told me, man, I've contacted everybody, and man, we've prayed, and I just don't find any relief. Or I've been to a doctor, and I just don't see any hope for my condition. And then I ask them, did you stop and pray first? And then it's like somebody hit them upside the head, and it finally came into their senses. That yes, that this is what I should have done. So this woman making her way through the crowd of people to get to Jesus, and this is what she's saying. If only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. You know what this is saying to me? And what it's telling us? That her faith was very strong. She wasn't saying, well, if I touch it, maybe I'll be healed. Or maybe I might feel a little bit better and maybe I could get up and walk home and maybe I could deal. That's not what she was saying. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She is declaring by faith what the Lord can do and what she was believing. And that's what God requires of each and every one of us. God requires us to have faith and believe in our heart that when we approach Him and when we ask for things, that He will do what He promised in His Word that He would do. So she reaches out, touches His garment, and all of a sudden, the power and the healing virtue leaves his body. Now that's how powerful Jesus is. Even his garment that was on him held this power. So as soon as she touched it, the power goes into her body. The Bible says immediately her problem, the blood issue, the flow had stopped. And she was healed and was made whole. And then Jesus, knowing that the power left his body, said, "Who touched me?" Well, then here's the disciples in bewilderment. They know that Jesus knows everything. And of course, being human, they're saying, "But Lord, why would you question that? There's people all around. Why would you question who touched you?" But if you go on and read in Scripture, Jesus turned to the woman and he saw her. And through compassion, Jesus reached out to her and ministered to her. Here's what I want you to see out of this. Jesus wasn't hateful. He didn't rebuke her. He didn't turn her away, because we know this, that we know that God is love. We know that in him is no darkness. We know that God will never turn anybody away. So that's what I want us to get in our hearts this morning. I want us to get it right here in our heart that God will never turn you away. You can do some of the most hideous things. You can say some of the most vile things. You can act out in ways in bad times. And I want you to know that God still loves you just the same today as he did yesterday, and he'll love you the same tomorrow. And God will never, ever tell you to leave his presence. Why? Because God loves it when we come to him and when we seek him and want to have fellowship. But how did Jesus know who touched him? He knew it because of her faith. He knew it because of her faith. Like I said, he already knew that this woman was coming to him, and he already knew that he was going to have this encounter with her. But her faith touched him greatly. It's our faith that touches Jesus. It's our faith in him that causes him to move. If you don't have faith in God, he's not going to move. That's it. You can try everything. I'll tell this. I had a situation going on one time, won't say what it is, and I thought I was literally going to climb the wall, pull my hair out, because I would go to bed with this thing on my mind at night, and I couldn't sleep, and I would get up the next morning and have the same situation on my mind and go through the entire day letting it eat me up, to the point where I was sick at my stomach and basically trying to do it all on my own. And I wasn't trusting the Lord. I wasn't having faith in God. And so God was not in the situation. But the moment that I decided, hey, it's time to get this thing off my back, and that's one thing God wants us to do. God wants us to take everything in our lives and bring it before his throne. This woman had a physical issue. God wants you to bring everything emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever it may be. God can handle it. God knew that you're going through it before you ever came to him, but he's waiting on you to respond in faith. And when we respond in faith to the Lord, it touches God, and God, through his love, doesn't let you go unnoticed. This woman was not unnoticed. Jesus turned to her in compassion and ministered to her very life. How many times does Jesus want to do that to us? But yet, many times over, we turn and just walk, and Lord, I'll deal with it myself. I got this one. And then how many times do we find ourselves later in the midst of problems when we've gotten in too deep of a hole, and we say, okay, Lord, I need you to get me out of this mess again. And how many times does God, through his mercy and grace, say, That's what I've been waiting for, child. I've been waiting for you to come back to me. To Jesus, the most important work in all of this world is meeting a person's need. The Lord doesn't care how talented you are or how gifted you are to meet your need. The only thing God wants you to do is come as you are to Him. See, there is no judgment with the Lord. There's mercy and grace. When the adulterous woman was brought to Jesus and the men wanted her stoned, you remember what Jesus did? He had his finger. He was writing something in the sand. Don't know what it was. I often wonder if those men that were there, I wonder if Jesus was writing out their sins. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation, but we don't know what Jesus was writing. But whatever happened there, it was enough to make these men run away when Jesus said, "The first one of you without sin cast the first stone." And they took off and left. Now, Jesus wasn't being mean. He was proving a point that, see, there's none of us that are better than anybody else. And it doesn't matter what you've done or how you've acted, the Lord will gladly accept you back if you are willing to say, "Father, I've sinned. And I need you, and I repent. I confess of all my sins, and I repent, and I ask you to forgive me." And the moment the Lord forgives you, the Bible says that He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will create in you a clean heart. David even wrote in Psalms, "Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right and a steadfast spirit within me." Because David felt bad for what he had done. And I preached about that a few weeks ago too, what David had done. But nothing will keep Jesus from stopping and turning to you when you're in a time of desperation. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Now, is that hard? Does that seem like pretty hard instructions? Commit thy ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Commit and trust. Man, that's easy. I'll tell you what's hard for me. It's hard for me to look at a set of blueprints and try to build something. That's confusing. This right here is easy. I'll go for that anytime. I'll go for giving my heart and life to the Lord anytime. I've made plenty of messes in my life, and you know what? I guarantee you I'm still going to mess up as long as I live in this flesh. But I have to remember, if I go to the Lord first and I ask God to help change me, then I could avoid those situations that I've been through in the past. Never give up praying. See, the woman never gave up getting to Jesus. She didn't give up. She could have got out there and said, "There's way too many people. I'll never get to Him. I'm just going home. I'll suffer with it." How many of you ever found yourself going through something and you said, "You know what? There's just too much going on. Jesus probably has more people to care about than He does me. I'll just go on and deal with it." Right there, I'll be the one of the first to tell you yes. And Jesus said, Matthew 7:7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, I read that from King James, because I like how it's worded. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. But in that, you have to have faith. You have to trust and keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't get discouraged. Keep pressing forward. If Jesus made her whole again, He can make you whole again. Quit listening to the lies of the devil. Quit listening to what other people say about your life, and tune in your heart and your ears to the voice of the Lord. And listen to what He says. Because Jesus can make you whole again spiritually, physically, and emotionally. You can be made whole again. If we could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment today, lives would be changed, souls would be saved, sickness would be healed. How many of us are reaching out for the garment to the hem of Jesus? How many of us are really saying, Lord, I need you? You know what? We're at a point right now in our churches that our churches need to be saying, Father, we need you. One thing we don't need in churches today is we don't need social clubs. We don't need our own ways happening. We don't need things going on the way that we think they should be happening. It all should be the Lord. Our churches should be an open door to every drug dealer, every prostitute, every beggar, any person that's living in sin. Those doors ought to be open. And the people inside of that church should be ministering to those in need. You're never too old. You're like I said last week, I don't care who you are, where you come from, whatever. God can use you as you are, but you've got to come to Him, asking Him to use you. And you got to have love in your heart and willing to let it show. That's where it all happens. We got to have the love of the Lord in us, because I tell you what, when you touch the hem of His garment, you'll never be the same.